amongst the etiquettes of Jumu'ah is we try and sit as close as possible to the member, inshallah. So if there are any gaps in front of us, inshallah, let us take those few steps for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fill in the gaps that are in front of us, inshallah, and come as close as possible to the member. جزاكم الله خيرا. Let us try and recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa sallam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وبين الله عز وجل صفات المؤمنين قائلا الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون وقد قال سيدنا وحبيبنا الأعظم صلى الله عليه وسلم من فاتته صلاة فكأنما وتر أهله وماله وبعد. Respected ulama ikram, Huffaz of the Quran, elders and friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the limitless favors that Allah Ta'ala bestows upon us. And never can we fully fulfill the rights of praising Allah Azza wa Jal. We merely say that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is due to His great status and His grandeur and the lofty being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And especially we thank and praise Allah on the ni'mah and the favor of iman. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala towards the end of his life, while leading the Fajr Salah, a plot to assassinate him had reached its fruition and culmination when a person who had come all the way from Iran, from the Persian Empire, who feigned to be a Muslim, Abu Lu'lu, stabbed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu as he was leading the Fajr Salah. Let us remember that this is that great personality, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if there was a Nabi to come after me, then it would have been none other than Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Many instances when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would give an opinion, very soon thereafter wahi and revelation would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, corroborating the view and the opinion forwarded by Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. This despicable person, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, who had completed the plot to assassinate Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, worthy of mention, is that those who feign themselves to be Muslims have actually constructed a mazar around his grave and made it a place worthy of visiting, and he is commemorated. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, after being injured, the very first worry and concern when his life was threatened, that has the salah which I was leading been completed or not? And in the end days, from then on to his shahada and his martyrdom, the phrase that was common on his tongue, لَا حَظَّ أَوْ قَالَ لَا سَحْمَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ لَا صَنَاتَ لَهُ, that there is no place, there is no portion in Islam for that person in whose life there is no salah. The natural worry and concern of the implementation of this great order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really I cannot find the words to fully impress this point. Let us rewind and go back to another very sad occasion in the history of this earth, just prior to the imminent departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this temporary abode. In the days leading up to that very dark Monday morning, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this ummah as a yatim, as an orphan, once again his affinity with salah, this all-important command of Allah Azza wa Jal, that was so beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The coolness of my eyes, that in which there is my natural love, is salah. At the time of salah approaching, look at the play on words. Many a time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu an, the muaddin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرِحْنِي بِالصَّلَاةِ يَا بِلَال. Grant me comfort in the coolness of my eyes by calling out towards salah. In the end days, when the fatal illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to take its toll, as a lesson to this ummah, when Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was too weak to even walk into the masjid to lead the salah, he would go with the assistance of his companions, Sayyidina Abbas, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum, and other companions, taking support from them on either side, but ensuring the establishment of salah. On the very final morning, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was too weak to even move that distance from his home to the musalla of the imam, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was appointed the imam as appointed to his successor and the khalifa, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cast a gaze at his ummah. The fruition of 23 glorious and great years, the greatest in the annals of the history of this earth, the fruition and the culmination of those efforts evident in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that actually in that very difficult and painful state brought a smile to the Mubarak face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved companions radiallahu anhum say that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would smile, it would seem that the whole environment around there would be illuminated with his Mubarak and beautiful smile. A smile appeared on the Mubarak face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For what reason and what had brought the smile? Looking at his companions in Salatul Fajr in congregation, realizing the completion and the success of his mission, manifested in the upkeep of the most important injunction in the life of a Muslim. The last words on the Mubarak tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all pride ourselves to aspire and make every effort to implement the parting advices of our beloved ones. My late father's last words to me was such and such. As my mother was leaving this world, she insisted upon me to take care of my siblings, and how we make every effort to try and put these to practice. The personality who should be more beloved to us than any other human being, including ourselves, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departing words from the Ummah, As-salah wa ma malakat yaminuk. Two great forms of advice that embody the entire deen within them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be cognizant, fear Allah regarding your salah, which is the embodiment of all of those rights known as huququllah, the rights due unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious, be wary and concerned at all times in your relation with Allah, in the fulfillment of the rights of your subordinates, of your slaves and your servants. Take care of them with compassion and sympathy, for indeed Allah shall question you regarding this. I'm elaborating these very short words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this embodies all of those rights known as huququl ibad, the rights due unto the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salatu khayru mawdu', the most important and the most virtuous and the best command that Allah has given in this entire deen is salah. sufficient for the status of salah for us to know that from the very inception of this command, unlike other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Jibreel alayhi salam descended with the commands to the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his beloved Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above the seven heavens on that great night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj to gift this most important and beloved command of Allah ta'ala to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this beloved ummah. Just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ascended to a very high state, such is the position of salah in the life of a mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and what a beautiful example, the position of salah in deen for a mu'min is like the position of the head in the body. Try and picture a headless chicken after it is slaughtered. That is the position of a person in whose life salah is deficient and negligent. You know, we normally would have various complaints of various aspects of our lives. Things are not running smoothly in my business, marital discord, disobedient children at home, and the list goes on and on. Brothers, on this token, just a personal experience that I would like to share. Let us be appreciative of the various favors Allah has conferred upon us, really. You know, in our surroundings, the levels of poverty, we really do not fathom and fully understand them. Just yesterday I received an SMS from one of the brothers we work closely with in the squatter camps, from some of the civic organizations. You know, his message read as follows, that I would like to say to you, Happy New Year and New Year's greetings, etc. But he says, how can he be happy when the clutches of poverty have reached the level, he says, there is an entire household, as it is known, child-headed households, the eldest of the children being 21, the sole breadwinner of the home, the entire shack was destroyed in a fire. Let us be appreciative of the favors of Allah Ta'ala, and let us make every effort within our means to try and uplift the pangs of poverty that are being suffered by the millions and the masses in our country. And this indeed will become the most potent form of da'wah to this great deen of Islam. Regarding the general problems we have in our lives, a meaning of a narration that says that the one who establishes salah in his or her life, everything else will fall into place. And the moment there is a deficiency in salah, it manifests itself in other aspects of one's life. So many an instance, speaking to our senior ulama who deal extensively with marital cases of discord, etc., the very first advice that they would give, and they would say it is a natural trend that when there are not only general problems, the root of the problem is the deficiency in salah and especially in other matters of deen. The moment that is rectified and corrected, we find most of the other problems going away. This will be clearly manifested. We now fast track to the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ الصَّلَاةِ. The very first thing for which hisab and reckoning of a servant will take place on the Day of Judgment will be the salah itself. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. If one is found successful in salah, salah was performed within its time. Subhanallah, there is absolutely no compromise as far as salah is concerned. Let us just ponder and reflect on the various injunctions in deen. We all know about tayammum in the absence of water or not being able to utilize water. One performs a cleansing ritual by striking sand or anything that originates from sand over one's face and hands. What is this message telling us? There is no water, it does not mean no salah. You are too ill to use water. Do not forgo your salah. Allah has given you the substitute of purifying yourself, but do not leave out that salah in its time. A person cannot stand, the command is not there that forgo your salah, sit and say your salah. One cannot sit, lie down and say your salah with movements of the head for the various postures of salah. There is a verse in the Quran specifically telling us the manner of salah, even in the thick and the heat of battle. A person who has an udhr, an excuse by means of which he cannot remain tahir and pure, there is constant emanation of some impurity from the body, urine, stool, blood, etc. He is given special concession that perform one wudu for every salah, but there it is not said do not forgo your salah or leave it out. Perform your salah even in that condition. You know, when this quality comes naturally within a person, look at the great benefits. It is mentioned that when a mu'min who was very, very punctual in his salah is placed into the grave, as we learn in the hadith, as the last footsteps can still be heard of people who have buried him and are walking away, his most beloved family members are leaving him in the darkness of his qabr. Munkar and Nakir, the angels who do the questioning in the grave, make him sit up. And it is mentioned regarding such a believer, the scene in front of him looks as if the sun is about to set. Rubbing his eyes like a person who wakes up from a deep sleep, looks at the scene in front of him and says to Munkar and Nakir, leave me alone, I still have to perform my Asr Salah for today. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam alludes that this is his natural instinct, his natural affinity was Salah. It is obvious that he will pass the coming test with flying colors. On the Day of Judgment, as we have said, the manifestation of the benefit of Salah and how it transcends into the remainder of a person's life, the very first thing that a person will be reckoned for on the Day of Judgment will be Salah. If that Salah is found to be perfect, Salah within its time, a Salah of khushu' and khudu, concentration, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Salli salata muwaddi'in. Whenever you say your Salah, perform it as if it is your last Salah in this life. And a person may be threatened with death, and he says to those who have captured him, allow me one thing, and that is to say two rakats of Salah. The humility, the concentration, and the quality of that Salah, let us try and make this the quality of every Salah that we performed. The questioning of Salah, he will be found to be perfect in Salah ma'al jama'ah, performing Salah in the congregation with the jama'atul muslimin. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most compassionate, rahmatul lil alameen, states that it is my desire to assemble the youth of Madinah Munawwara, collect some firewood, and then wait at the time of Salah to appoint somebody else to lead Salah in place of me, and then go to the homes of those who have chosen to say their Salah instead of coming to the masjid and burn down those homes. These are not my words, these are the words of Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person whose hisab will be taken on the Day of Judgment and he is found to be perfect in Salah, that success will be found in other matters of one's life. And if one is deficient and negligent and fails in Salah, a similar trait will manifest itself in other aspects of his hisab and his life in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an, the son-in-law, the beloved cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fountain of wisdom, when the hour of Salah would approach, his entire complexion would change, and when going towards Salah he would say, I am now going to fulfill that great ordainment, that great injunction that was offered to such great creations, the skies, the earth, and the mountains. But all of them shied away from this responsibility which has been given to us as insan, as human beings. I do not really know if I will fulfill the rights of the Salah. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, Hibrul Ummah, the father of tafsir of this Ummah, When the adhan would go, subhanAllah, when the adhan would go, his complexion would change. He would weep so profusely that his shawl would be filled with the moisture of his tears. The veins would swell and his eyes would turn red. Somebody asked him, "We also listen to the same adhan. Why this reaction from you and not from us?" He says, "If I have to really tell you what is the message and the meaning of this adhan and its reality, you will forsake your sleep and all other luxuries and comforts." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Bayna al-rajuli wa bayna al-kufri wa shirki tarku salah wa kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The defining line between a man and his putting his foot into the clutches of kufr and disbelief is salah. In another hadith, more emphatic, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, "Man taraka salatan muta'ammidan faqad kafar." The one who forsakes a salah intentionally from its time has indeed committed an act of disbelief, of kufr. Apologies, there is no malice or ill intention towards anybody personally, but this hadith really has to be pondered upon, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he who forsakes one salah intentionally has committed an act of kufr and disbelief. In the elaboration of this hadith and the understanding of this hadith, there are some majority who have adopted the opinion that only that person who negates or rejects salah will be termed a disbeliever. If he is negligent in practice, it does not take him into the brinks of kufr. However, as according to the opinion of Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who holds such a view, when there is the Nizam and the Islamic judicial system being practiced in its perfect state, such a person should be reprimanded, and this is the lightest of all the views. He should be reprimanded and commanded to perform salah. If he persists in his negligence, then that person should be jailed until such a time that he rectifies this bad habit. There are others such as Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik rahimahumullah ta'ala, and many of the other companions who state that yes, he may not be termed a disbeliever on the practical neglect of a salah, but if he persists in this habit after being commanded to change his ways and yet neglects his salah, they opine that such a person, just as a married adulterer should be stoned to death, such a person as a form of punishment should be put to death by the sword. And then there are those who interpret this hadith in its apparent words. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, according to some, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Ishaq bin Rahway, and from the jurist Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who take these words in its apparent form, that person who forgoes a salah intentionally indeed has threaded into the brinks, has walked into kufr and into disbelief. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, on account of his going into disbelief and irtidad, should be put to death when there is a perfect Islamic judicial system in place. Brothers, the objective of emphasizing this great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it encourages me, firstly, that we do true and sincere introspection into my life, into my salah specifically, that when that is perfected, everything else would fall into place. The punctuality, the performance of salah within its time, a salat of quality, khushu and khudu, and performing salah in congregation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you see a person frequenting the masajid of Allah ta'ala for his salah, فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ, testify to the fact that this person's iman is sound and intact and sincere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me firstly and all of us the ability to practice. The concluding note, we recently had the great honor of having the muadhin of the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visiting our masjid and giving out a beautiful adhan at Salatul Fajr. The man who had given adhan in the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 50 years of his life, he mentioned in our personal discussion that one of the imams of the haram 30 years ago had never missed a salat of fajr with jamaat in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 40 years. Look closer to us, 2 weeks ago, In a discussion with an elderly person in one of our neighboring communities, in the discussion, one of the things that emanated, he says, Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah, I am 64 years old. From the age of 12 up to now, I have not missed a single Fajr Salah in its time. 52 years consecutively of waking up every day to perform the Fajr Salah within its time. May Allah Ta'ala guide us the ability to practice, inshaAllah.